Morning, everyone, and welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike DeTelle along with Herb Tyler. And now it's time for our Inside the Tiger Den segment brought to you by Go Tax Resolution, your go-to tax resolution team. Go Tax Go. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line from Louisiana Radio Network, Jeff Palermo. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Hope you got a little bit of coffee in you by now.
Not yet, Mike. Not yet, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
Okay, it's a slow process, so to speak. I get it. Jeff, I think today's game will tell a lot about both teams because – hey, you watched the first game for South Carolina. They really weren't impressive. And then I'm not really sure how good Kentucky is. I mean, they took it to them and physically beat them up. But I don't know, again, looking at that Wildcat team this year, they don't seem to have a lot of the similarities we've seen with some of the Kentucky teams in the past and with LSU. It was almost like we just going to roll the helmets out last weekend against Nichols. Nichols took it to him. I don't care what Brian Kelly says. They physically got moved around up front. I think this game against a team at 11 o'clock in the morning, game day there, is going to tell you a little bit of about both teams and what type of clubs both of them have.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested to see where LSU as far as its mental makeup, Mike. I mean,
I agree.
As you mentioned, they just kind of sleptwalked through that game against Nichols, and the reasons that Coach Brian Kelly gave for it are all understandable, and I get it. I think any of us that go to Las Vegas for a weekend are a little sluggish the next week, right? I mean, that's kind of how it is.
So, Herb, you want to comment on that or what?
Yeah, man, I was bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, ready to roll the next week.
I'm sure, but seriously, I'm kind of wondering where the makeup is. You know, you put everything you had for several months into that USC game, and you come up short again in a season opener, and then you play Nichols, and you're hoping you can run the football, and you still really can't run the football, and Colin Guggenheim is – you know, ripping off long runs against you, and, you know, just a lot of the things that you were hoping to at least get accomplished in that game, you were not able to accomplish. And so you come into this game saying, hey, we still want to run the football. You know, we heard from Emory Jones that, hey, this is what we're working on. It's a point of emphasis. We got to get it done. We're fighting, scratching, and clawing to get it done. So let's see the makeup of this team here, and if they really feel that, hey, they're one of the 12 teams that should be in a college football playoff. I think that's kind of what I'm anticipating or looking forward to seeing, just how they come out and play. Are they ready to go here at 11 a.m.?
Herb?
Jeff, do you think – let me ask you this. After seeing this team play 2 weeks in a row, do you think they can turn the aggression, just the sheer want to and the physicality, do you think they can turn that around today?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, they talked about it all off season about what this is what they wanted to do. I mean, we heard Will Campbell talking quite a bit about it before the season, and it certainly hasn't happened. And then on the flip side, on the defensive line, you're losing your best defensive tackle. Your five-star prospect, you can't get him on the field as far as a freshman and Dominic McKinley. And so, yeah, let's see what they're made of, especially on that offensive line, because by all accounts, the strength of the South Carolina team is their defensive line. And so for South Carolina, I think for them to have any kind of a chance in this game, they're going to have to really be disruptive. They're going to have to get in the face of Garrett Nussmeier. They're going to have to make him feel uncomfortable. You know, Garrett Nussmeier now has 3 starts under his belt, but this is really his first true road start. Now, he's been around. He's been on the sidelines. He understands the environment, so I think that certainly does help. But it's a little bit different when the bullets start flying. So I'm eager to see what happens in the line of scrimmage today and whether LSU can control it and this offensive line, all this talk about them, all this hype about them, you know, this is a game where they certainly need to show up.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo, if you've persevered through. You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame.
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Whit Weeks has been the guy on the defensive side, the football. When you looked at it defensively, front seven, man, he is all over the field. You can see his instincts as a football player. He rarely takes a false step. His ability to close in fast on the ball carrier, he can run east and west really well. And from what I see, he has gotten better in the coverage part of the game of putting himself in reverse and being able to kind of watch the eyes of a quarterback. Your thoughts on Weeks? And because you can hear Brian talking about, I'm going to play more three linebacker sets more with Weeks, with Greg Penn Jr., and Harold Perkins, who he was in the Witness Protection Agency last week against Nichols. So your thoughts on Whit Weeks?
Well, I mean, I think when we watched last year, the feeling was, hey, this kid should be playing more. I understand he's a freshman. Yeah. But once Omar Spates got healthy, Weeks went back to the sideline. So this is a kid that, it's hard just not to notice him on the football field. He always seems to be around the ball. He looks like a guy that can shed blocks. And I think that's one of the biggest things that you see with Harold Perkins is his inability to really do that. And Weeks can do it. And I get it. This really is the perfect team to bring out the, a three linebacker set, go to more of a 4-3 instead of playing a nickel because, I mean, South Carolina is not going to throw for, at least they shouldn't. Who knows? With LSU's
bite your tongue on that, Jeff.
Yeah. But they shouldn't be able to throw for over. I'll give them 250 yards. Maybe they throw for 200. Yeah. They have a good day, but they're not going to be throwing the ball all over the place. And they're going to try to win this game by controlling the football, running it with their quarterback and their running backs, and that's how they're going to win. So it's a perfect game to get three linebackers out there, see how it looks. And then see if putting Harold Perkins a little bit more on the edge, whether that makes a difference that we certainly notice him here a lot more this afternoon.
Interesting stat, guys, just so y'all know, SEC College Football Total defensive stats for 2024, LSU is last. Even though it doesn't look like they're playing bad, if that makes any sense, there's times where it doesn't look good, but LSU right now is leading the SEC with total yards gained on, which is 742 over the past two games. So they're dead last right now in that.
Well, that hadn't changed from last year. It's sort of the same carbon copy. And so and you got different schemes. So, man, you got to find playmakers here. And Jeff, one of the guys, and he sort of talked it up this week, is Parrish Chan. Who's getting his opportunity now with Jacoby and Guillory out. You got to count on Paris to become a bigger part of your defense up front because, man, if Nichols State is moving you around, you got other teams down the road that got a lot more talent, say, up front along the offensive line than the Colonels do.
Well, I think one of the reasons why the belief is that LSU's defense does look better from a season ago is because I think you notice the defensive line a lot more this season,
yes.
Despite last year's defensive line having three defensive tackles that were drafted. But they're just a little more active. The ends are Savion Jones, of course, had a really nice game against the USC, and Parrish Chan is off to a really nice start. I mean, this is a guy that's played a lot of football. Yep. 3 years at Arizona, now in the second season at LSU. I mean, if the light doesn't come on now, it's never going to come on.
And now
get the opportunity. Now he gets the opportunity to move inside. I think you're going to see a lot of him there and see what he can do. He seems bigger. The guy is he's got a great attitude. He's probably one of the better interviews as far as player-wise goes for LSU. So, he's a guy we're going to see a lot more from. I'm kind of interested to see Sean Washington, what what he can do, the junior college transfer. I know Brian Kelly really talked him up, saying that he did a nice job for Jacoby and Guillory, but I still think that the Guillory injury is just a –
That's a massive loss for this
team. It is a punch to the gut. There's no doubt about it. When you started the season and you sit there and said, hey, who are the three or four guys at LSU can't afford to lose? He was one of them. And that's a tough one right there. And now you're, as we mentioned, they're going up against a team that's going to want to try to run the ball, run it right at you. So these defensive tackles, this is where Bo Davis makes his money, right? This is where this is why you go out and get a guy like Bo Davis, one of the best defensive line coaches in the country, to see if you can't coach him up and have him play a little bit, have them play a little bit better than their capabilities.
Wilson Alexander is reporting this morning. Wilson does a fantastic job covering the Tigers, and Wilson's under a difficult situation personal-wise with his wife, but he is reporting that Jordan Allen won't play today at the strong safety position. And so, man, a spot where that's another position where Deshaun Spears now, young guy, hey, kid, you were the number two guy, but you're the starter now. So you got to play like a starter. And so that thins out an area at the safety position where you're going to have to play the young kids and see what they got.
I think Brian Kelly, I think both on the defensive line and the defensive secondary, I see LSU playing a bunch of guys. I mean, I just think all of them. I mean, I think he alluded to it maybe a couple of weeks ago where, these guys in defensive secondary, you're looking to get, 30 to 40 plays with them and you're rotating guys in and out. The play of Zy Alexander was good, but hey, this guy was one of the best cornerbacks in the Southland Conference 2 years ago. So he goes up against the Southland Conference team. You expect him to look good. What makes it at least a little bit better is the fact that it was his first game since tearing his ACL last October. So getting him back in the mix of things, that can get Sage Ryan back to safety. That gets him to his natural position. So hopefully, with the injury to Jordan Allen, now you got at least Sage over there at safety. And so maybe that might not be as big of a loss. But Deshaun Spears, Kylan Jackson, those are two young safeties that I think for LSU to really see an improvement in defense this year, those two young guys really, they need to make some positive steps forward. They really need to develop quickly as far as acceleration of their development here for LSU to get to where they want to be, especially come November as far as a defensive team.
Jeff, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Go get you some coffee and some breakfast. Yeah. But, man, we appreciate you waking up early and contributing to the show, as always. Great job, brother. Appreciate it.
Thank you,
no
Jeff.
Problem, guys. Going to get a workout in, too, man. Got to stay heart healthy, too, all right?
I got you.
That's right.
That was Jeff Palermo in our Inside the Tiger Den segment.